Here we go. Here we go, Petey. We first of all, can we? We won. We beat Iowa. We beat Iowa, dude.
It's huge.
Were you excited?
I was.
I was so excited, and I almost got in a fist fight over a text group message with my Iowa friends. I mean, it's about as close to a fist fight as you can get. Well, with Bettsworth, me and Bettsworth were going back and forth about it because he lost money on it. He Bettsworth freaking put money on Iowa to cover. I go, you're a fool.
Come on, Betsy.
And what's Betsy say? Well, I just put another $80 down. And so after that game, I just had to be the mean, nasty jerk Sam that I am. Because as I told these guys, I'm like, listen, if I'm going to be a misery, I might as well be a cock, you know? So it was a fun win. Now, it was really kind of like winning the Despicable Bowl. We beat them. And it was a great game, but it was a typical Husker.
Tried giving it away.
Tried to give it away. I mean, we're
a
up,
lot.
We're up 24-0, right? Right.
It was 24-7, maybe.
We're up 17-0.
17-0.
We're up 17-0. Yeah. My sister takes a nap, and she wakes up, and it's like, we're gonna lose the ball game. Oh, man.
Hey, the defense still stepped up when they had to, and I just, when I was thinking about it while I was watching it, I mean, the season was over, and that was kind of like a win one for Mickey. That was like, keep Iowa out of the Big Ten championship.
Yes.
So, Nebraska had a lot to play for, even though they were, you know, 3-8.
Well, pride, and it goes back to Mickey Joseph. I mean, without that guy, that team just wouldn't have, we wouldn't have had that attitude, and I couldn't have been happier for Mickey Joseph. Really, sincerely, I was so happy for that guy. I was so happy that, you know, I enjoyed watching his son pick his nose and eat it on national television. But, you know,
3-year-olds.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I got one of those.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. So it was a great win. It was a great win. And then the next morning, right at, you know, was 8:45 a.m. sharp, here comes the press release. And I will tell you that I think that Travis handled this whole process exemplary.
Yeah.
I mean, there were little leaks here and there, and you had your little – 2 weeks ago, you had your little rumor about Rule. Everybody did. Everybody came, it's done deal. It's done deal. It's going to happen this week. Well – you know, but it was all kept very tight, and the way that it was handled, I thought was great. Mm-hmm. Just in the spec, he wasn't going to wait around because Husker fans had worked themselves into a froth, and I just think it was handled properly. And then for him to be able to go on sports or on ESPN Game Day.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
He seems like a good dude. Like
The more I've researched him, I believe that.
Everyone gives him a bad rap for the NFL, but I love what Carricker said. He was like, I do not equate NFL failures to success in college. It's, like, it's just totally unrelatable.
You're not comparing the same fruits.
Yeah.
Husker fans are also worked themselves into a froth over that Rule is the wrong pick. And I'm just I.
How do you know?
I'm just,
no one knows.
I'm just going to take a moment of privilege here to say, I just posted on Facebook, the same people that supported the unilateral hire of Scott Frost,
100%.
There's no doubt that it was a unilateral. No one else was talked to. They supported that. Are the same people that are now opposing the vetted search and hire of Matt Rule. And from what I've read, my understanding is that they started with about 25 candidates. 25. Narrowed them down to about 6 or 7. And this is what we got. Was Luke Fickell talked to? Probably.
Had to have been.
Probably, yes. And he just announced he's going to Wisconsin. And Husker fans, well, we should have got Fickell. Have you ever considered that Luke Fickell didn't want to go to Nebraska? I know it's hard for you folks to believe, everybody wants to coach at Nebraska.
Look at where we are.
And that's my other main argument. Overall, in Division I football, we're bottom 30 football programs right now.
We're terrible.
I mean, you're not even arguing with me.
No.
So then I decided to go to the Power Five and look at all the teams of the Power Five. We're probably bottom three. I'm not even kidding. I mean, if you could, it's unbelievable.
One of my
I mean, maybe the only person's the you know, Northwestern. They're below us. Oh, by the way, they beat us.
Yeah, wait. They tend to give us fits.
So let's just get a little perspective, Husker fans. You know, he didn't win the big game. Well, wait a minute.
The big game, you mean the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah. He played, at least he played in a freaking big game. The guy is, and I did, and I went back and looked to see what I had said about Rule, and I basically said no thank you at the time. But I didn't know anything about him. And the more I read and the more I see, the more I think this is a pretty well vetted search, and I think it's a good fit. He's getting paid a lot of money. Have you seen that one?
Yep.
A lot of money, probably more than I would have paid him, but $72 million.
A lot of people give him flack for like, oh, who? What has he done? It's like he didn't win.
He rebuilt
much at Temple.
Not one I'm but like, two programs.
No, he built Temple.
He built program. That's right. He built Temple and he rebuilt quickly Baylor. So here is a team.
He had Temple in the top 25.
Yeah,
mind you, and all these Husker fans are complaining. I'm like, when's the last time we were in the top 25?
He hasn't beat anybody. Well, wait a minute. Can we just like
neither have we?
Can we get excited about going to a bowl game before we're worried about beating somebody big? I mean,
Georgia Southern beat us.
Georgia Southern beat us.
So our fans need a reality check. We're not. They need to let go of the past. I said this, I think, on our last podcast. It's like, listen, you guys need to forget that we were ever good.
20 years ago, I would have bought into these arguments, but I don't anymore. I mean, I think we're lucky, and I think we probably found a good fit in this guy. And boy, patience. We're gonna have to have.
We're not gonna win nine games next year.
I don't think we're gonna. Well, we'll talk about it. Because PD and I decided to continue this charade of our little podcast because we have fun. So we'll talk about it next year. But I mean, honestly, I don't know. I don't think we'll have more than three wins next year. And if we, you know, so expectations have got to be tempered. It's got to be about rebuilding, and it's got to be about a product that we are proud of. And if Rule can put a product on the field that we are proud of, he will win some of these people over. I went back and looked at what I said when Frost was initially fired. We had an episode, and I asked you what were the characteristics of a coach, and I said we need somebody who's cocky, who has swagger. I don't know if this guy's cocky, but he certainly has a little swagger.
He's confident.
He's certainly confident. If you see the guy talk, he is confident. Experience. I wanted someone who had coached before. Clearly, we've got a former head coach here. Somebody who's dealt with the NIL. Somebody who has a good ideas about the NIL. I would assume that he's familiar with it.
He's not so far gone. He spent 2 years in Carolina.
And he's a younger guy. He's a 47-year-old guy. And the one thing that I have noticed is that I've read about is that he really values relationships with players. And so if
kinda
that's
like
the case.
Mickey Joseph?
Yes. Yes.
You keep like those Mickey, two together, I think we're going to get some guys.
We'll get there.
Yep.
I had a prerequisite of Big Ten coach or experience. Well, he played at Penn State, and he coached as a grad assistant at Penn State. So I'm not so far removed, or I'm not that disappointed that he hasn't coached a handful of Big Ten games or whatever. He has football knowledge, and he understands the stop the run, run the ball type mentality. He's on record.
Physicality.
Live and work. I can't read my own writing, but that's what I have to say about that. What are your thoughts on Rule? I mean, you were intrigued by him from the beginning.
Yep.
You said that you'd be all right with it.
Yeah.
What more have you learned about him?
Yeah, I saw the interview on College Game Day. I thought it was pretty cool. And the one thing that I took out of it was when he was saying that he loves developing players. His favorite thing is developing players, men.
Gosh, so, what kind of need do we have around here?
So I think if I'm assuming, and I hope that he keeps Mickey. I haven't heard one way or another yet, but I'm assuming that's going to happen. Mickey said he wants to also.
He's on the record as saying that if he could play a role, yes.
So Mickey might be getting some looks at doing some other things at other schools, but, I mean, he's at home right now, so it's going to be hard to get him away from Nebraska, I think. But we'll let that play out in the wash. But I think
I won't hold against him. No. If he doesn't hire Mickey, I won't.
If you combine Mickey with Rule, I think that is going to be
special. And I think amazing. My guess is they're probably talking right now. I mean, yeah. Right as we're speaking here at 2:00 in the afternoon on a Sunday afternoon, my guess is they're both men. They both, now they have a mutual acquaintance who apparently Rule fired. I don't care about any of that. Mickey, he doesn't care about that stuff, and neither does Rule. But I think if they can find some kind of chemistry or mm-hmm. role, it'll be a good thing. I mean, in my dream scenario would be that you put Mickey back to the position he had, which his title was he was like number two or what the his what was the title? Associate head?
Or like he was associate head coach and then...
Associate head coach.
Yeah, he just...
I think you put him back to that role and you make him primarily his main responsibility off the field is
mentor.
Recruiting.
Mentor and recruit.
Mentor and recruiting.
Yeah.
That would be my dream spot for the guy.
He'll get guys. Well,
and
Rule
give him a
can
freaking,
get him.
If somebody give him a pay raise. Give him a pay raise. You know?
A lot of people are just that... Like my buddy sent me a text, like I told you this morning, and he was like... You know, like, all right, well, we got Rule. I swear if Wisconsin gets Fickell, it's like you're saying, like, I'm assuming we talk to Fickell. Like, and we are bottom of the barrel at the moment.
Yeah.
Temple was the bottom of the barrel, and Rule got them in the top 25. They don't play anybody. We lose to nobody.
Right.
So my thing with that is we are literally starting over. And, yeah, if this doesn't work, okay, you guys can tell us I told you so, but it cannot get worse.
Yeah, I think everybody has just got to take a deep breath. And yeah.
That's the problem with Nebraska.
Maybe your guy wasn't hired.
Sorry, it wasn't Urban
Meyer. I took a deep breath
when
Frost was hired, I was the only guy out there saying, I don't know about this. If you don't believe me, go back and look at my social media posts.
Yeah.
But I got on board with it. I was excited.
I was excited.
I went to that first spring game, so... Mm-hmm. Husker fans, you know, get over yourselves. Give the guy a chance. I think
it's not going to happen next year.
Tomorrow
either.
he may you know give you a little sliver of hope. So take that little sliver of hope, whatever you get out of it, and get behind these guys. I mean, imagine being in that locker room right now. All these guys are Mickey guys, all of them. I mean, when they walked off. They were all chanting Mickey, Mickey, Mickey in the locker room. They love that guy.
Yep.
So it would be
got to keep him around.
We got to keep him around. We got to keep Mickey around. But we've got to support the program, and we've got to keep some of these. There are some players on our team that I think have developed nicely over this last year. They're younger guys, and we need to keep them engaged. So, you know, I was a little surprised at how quickly Trey Palmer jumped.
he needed to after the last couple games. He had that Purdue game and this Iowa game. He's got to go.
Yeah, probably.
Especially with the change.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just...
Well, I would hope that... Yeah, I would have liked to catch Trey, and thank you for your services. You had a great game against Iowa and Purdue. My goodness. And I did, you know, to think that this guy broke the single season record for receiving Nebraska is remarkable. I mean, had we won seven games, I think you'd probably do the stock better in NFL, you know, but whatever.
The NFL scouts understand.
They do.
Who's delivering him the ball.
They do. They do. So, yeah, so we're onward with Matt Rhule. And, Coach, if you're listening, I know you're not, but if you are, we do, Petey and Sam do welcome you. And I just hope Husker fans have patience. And it's hard to have patience. I'm getting older, man. I mean, God, I really don't know before I die if we're ever going to be relevant again. I hope by the time your kids in your lifetime or my nieces and nephews in their lifetime will get to see Nebraska again, just
compete
and be an honorable place to play and that brings a product every week. Again, Matt Rhule, if you're listening, just give us don't embarrass us. Rhule number one, don't embarrass us. Rhule number two, give us a product that we can be proud of. And I think that's why everybody is with Mickey, because he restored a product that, like, we were never going to – we may have been outmatched in all those games, but we never laid down.
Close our games were outside of Oklahoma. Very close.
We could have easily had two or three more wins.
That's been the mantra the last few years, though.
Yeah, that's true. But Mickey turned those guys into believers, and he was a leader of men. The other guy wasn't. I mean, they kids are not stupid. They saw right through that. So there you go. Now let's kind of do a season recap, because it's been a crazy season.
It's been wild.
It's been crazy. You know, I go to Ireland and I make the remark, and I still remember this, seeing them and get off the airplane. I thought something was askew. Well, yeah. I guess it was. Then we take a big old dump in Ireland, just embarrass ourselves, and we come back.
Best part of the trip was free beer,
right?
The
only one I had I spilled on somebody, but and then we come back and we we beat North Dakota, yeah, which barely. In a sloppy game, yeah. And yeah, barely. It was a sloppy game. What did we beat them by?
I don't remember, dude.
Two points
already.
Or two touchdowns, maybe. I don't even remember. It doesn't
trying to
matter.
Forget this season already.
Then the big Georgia Southern game comes, and the Georgia Southern game was the beginning and the end. It was the most odd scene I've ever seen. It was basically
nail in the coffin.
There was this massive cloud over the stadium, and everybody wanted Georgia Southern win, so Frost be fired. And boy, did Trev pull the trigger, but toodaloo.
About as fast as he pulled the trigger yesterday.
Exactly. A week later, Oklahoma, welcome Mickey, get your butt kicked. But he fires Shenander. And that was a huge, I don't think, we look back at that, that was a real key moment for the season. The defense was there were two different teams.
Yeah.
With Shenander and then with Bush. So then we go on a two-game win streak, and we're on a roll. We're 3-3. I mean, you and I were excited. I went back and listened to that one. Like,
yeah.
We're 500. Woo. I mean, we're excited.
Yeah.
Imagine, folks, if we go 500 again. Won't that be exciting?
Had to play Purdue.
And then I think what Mickey cost his job, and we talked about this. I mean, it was Purdue was the bellwether game kind of for you. And I thought, yeah, he's got to win probably two of the through those three games, either
Purdue,
Minnesota
and
Illinois.
Illinois.
He had to win two of those three, and I think he probably would have been head football coach today, because you look at the timing. That all would have been done by the 1st of November, and then Trev had to, you know.
Yeah.
But
obviously,
we didn't.
Hindsight's 20/20.
Of course
it is. Honestly, if you win two out of those three games, then what, you're 6-4?
Yeah.
And then you're looking
it makes Trev's decision a lot harder. And he has enough time then to say, okay, you know. But then we didn't win any big games, and so there's this long lull. So he's got to continue to, like, make offers or do whatever, narrow the search. But meanwhile, Mickey operates in total class. He puts on a product. Again, those guys were playing hard every game. They never laid down.
Yep.
We should have beat Minnesota. Ridiculous. Wisconsin. We should have beat Wisconsin. Just absolutely ridiculous. And then we beat Iowa. And here we are. What a weird season. I mean, when we sat down the beginning to do this, we thought the premise was that we thought Frost would be gone
at
the end of the year. Well, yeah. It happened a lot quicker than that. So
yeah.
We look like absolute geniuses, dude.
Yeah. We were off by what? One win?
Right. So, yeah. What's our expectations for next year?
We'll get there when we get there.
I don't know. Yeah, don't know.
Let's digest this. We'll see what happens with the staff. Maybe we'll do a, like you said, do a spring game episode.
Yeah.
Keep people in tune and
onward we go.
Yeah.
I think we need to officially get like shirts and hats or something, dude.
Yeah, we'll do something.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Unfiltered, baby.
Yeah.
Go big.
Go big red.
Go big red.